Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Paul and Jor, we're back in the studio.
We are.
With Chris Tubbs. Haven't been back here since October. There was a lot of concern about Omicron. Still concerned about more variants possibly popping up. Hope we're not letting our guard down, our masks down too soon. But we all want normal. It's great to be back in the studio, especially hanging out with you, Jor.
And I imagine it would also be great to be back in the classroom.
Yes.
For many students and for many teachers. Yep. And that's what we are talking about because the teacher strike in Minneapolis continues. Cleo Nagy is that, did I say it right, Cleo?
Nagy.
I am so sorry. Cleo Nagy is a Minneapolis kindergarten teacher at City View Elementary, and she is joining us now. Cleo, we're so glad to have you on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So were you on the picket line today, Cleo?
I sure was, bright and early at 7:30.
So describe what that's like. What's your day like out on the picket lines?
Sure. Every day is a little bit different. In the morning, we get there at 7:30. We run through what our day is going to look like. And then most schools pick it outside of their school or find a more central location closer. So we stand over the Lowry, one of the Lowry bridges that's over the highway. So we're there until about 10. We have some chants going. We try to get some music going and keep the energy up. It's been really cold. Today it was snowy. Last Friday it was negative 12 when we got out there. So we try to keep the energy high and make sure morale's up. And then we get to have a little bit of a break, have some lunch, and then head out to our second location. So today we were outside of the Davis Center, which is Minneapolis Public School headquarters. And we had a rally there today with Representative Ilhan Omar.
Cleo, what's the biggest sticking point in your mind when you talk to fellow teachers, you talk to your colleagues? Is there one issue that is more important than the others? What is the biggest hang up right now with teachers not being back in the classroom?
I think it's hard to say that all of us have a biggest sticking point. I will say we've been working on an expired contract for the last 2 years. And so part of what we're negotiating for right now in terms of the pay is for the last 2 years. We haven't had a salary increase in the last 2 years. And so I know that's kind of a focal point for everybody. But I think based off your personal situation at your school, the community that you work in, class size might be a sticking point for you. Mental health might be a sticking point for you. Personally, for me and for my school, mental health and having more mental health counselors is something that we're really fighting for. And then, of course, our ESPs, which are educational support professionals, their starting salary is at $24,000. And so a lot of our educational support professionals, who are really the backbone of our schools, they're working with the most vulnerable students. They're hands-on with special education students every day, working, you know, with different needs that they have. And so to have them working 2 to 3 jobs, you know, one job should be enough. And so I think for everybody, it's a little bit different. But I really want to emphasize, you know, we've been working for 2 years without a new contract. And so that's why wage is what comes up the most often.
That's right. Cleo, are you any closer? Is there movement?
I want to say that there is a little bit of movement. However, mediation is supposed to be private. And so the updates that the district gave initially was sort of not allowed. And so now the union has been able to sort of let us know what's been going on. And so we know that the district, as of, I want to say Saturday, was starting to put some class size language into the contract, but they still haven't offered more than a 2% and 2% for the last, you know, 2 years for ESPs. And so for someone making $24,000, that would be around $480 in terms of their raise.
It's embarrassing.
And yes, and for teachers, it's been 1.75 and 1.75. The district did say they offered a 7% raise to teachers, but that's an average. So I believe they said teachers that have worked, you know, less than 8 years could get a 12.5% raise. And then teachers over the 8 years get a 1.75, and that averages out at 7%. So that's what they've released, but really the totality, which the majority of our teachers are at, is maybe over that 8%. So it's about 1.75 is what's on that contract.
Hey, Cleo, for the record, I aced kindergarten. I think I peaked in kindergarten. And I have fond memories of kindergarten, all my teachers. But why do you like teaching 5-6-year-olds?
You know, at first I didn't think I wanted the little ones. I wanted fifth grade. And then I fell in love with my kindergartners. They are so excited to be at school. They work so hard. They love their classmates. We got a bunch of fish right before we went on strike. And so when I talked to the students about what a strike meant and that I didn't know when we were coming back, one of the first questions they asked was, well, who's going to take care of our fish?
Oh, and sweethearts.
Yes, they're just, you know, so loving and really excited to be at school. And they grow, it feels like 10 years in that amount of time. And it's really awesome to see.
Wow. That well, thank so you for sweet. What you do.
Wait, who's taking care of the fish?
Yeah,
did you take them home?
I did not take them home. I left a note for one of the staff members who has to cross the line and has to be inside of the school, and they are taking care of the fish.
Good. Okay.
I hope so. My goodness.
Yes, they're all taken care of.
Thank God. Cleo, anything we didn't ask you, anything else you want to add or share with parents or the school board or anyone?
For parents, you know, just know that we're thinking of the kids. We miss them. We want to be back in the classroom. We appreciate all the honks and the donuts and the coffee that families and community members have given us. And to the school board members, I would like to say we've elected you to be our voice, and we need you at the table. And not all the school board members have been there. And that's who we need showing up. We need our superintendent there, and we need our school board members there. And that's how we get this done faster, and that's how we get back to the classroom.
All right. You got to be part of the solution. Cleo, yes. We so appreciate you.
Yeah.
It's Nate Nagy, right? Cleo Nagy?
Nagy.
Yes. You're going to have to say that name. I know. I'm so sorry. See, I need to go back to kindergarten and figure out Miss Nagy.
I'd like to go back and do it again.
Miss Nagy. We're going to check back in with you, but thank you for being a teacher, and we appreciate you, Cleo.
Yeah. Thanks, Cleo.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I know they want to be in the classroom. Of course they do. They want to be feeding the fish and doing ABCs. That's what they want to be doing. And it's so embarrassing. $400 a year? That doesn't make a difference in anybody's life.
Pay for parking for a couple of months.
We have $9 billion surplus. Step up, Minnesota. If we value education, we need to figure this out.
Yeah. I could not agree more.
We need to figure it out.
When we come back, one of USA Today's Women of the Year, Shaletta Brundage, is going to give us an update. That's next on CCO. Perfect. Perfect.
Because she is.
I am surrounded by amazing women, amazing broadcasters, Jordana
That's
Green,
right, he is.
Shaletta Brundage. And let me just read. This is from the St. Cloud Times, the SC Times. Shaletta Brundage, one of USA Today's Women of the Year.
That's right.
A recognition of women around the country who've made a significant impact. Shaletta Brundage has always had a passion for helping others. We are so proud of you. Congratulations, Shaletta.
Well, hey,
hello.
Uncle Paul and Auntie Jordana.
Hi, honey.
It is so good to talk to y'all. Happy New Year. I have not talked to y'all in 2022.
It has been a while.
That's right.
It has
My
been.
Goodness. Well, listen, Mazel Tov on this huge thing. Tell us what it means to be USA Today's Women of the Year.
You know what? I had no idea that I had even been nominated, that this was a thing. Apparently, a couple of friends of mine, Kevin Berger, y'all know Kevin Berger.
Of course, yes.
She had intercepted, you know, some information about this and thought, I will nominate my friend.
Mm.
And that's what she did. And, you know, for Women's History Month, it is so important that we use women, that we use our platforms to build one another up.
That's right.
You know, I just saw the story about Kim Kardashian and Variety saying women need to work their butts off. Nobody wants to work anymore. Listen, nobody works harder than women. We're balancing the checkbook, the babies, and the boo. Okay? and doing it in a pandemic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the time that we have to use our platform, to use our voice, should be to build up other women. And Kevin Berger has always been somebody who has blessed me, who has blessed my family. She gave me my first on-air opportunity in the Twin Cities. And so women like her and you, Jordana, and Kathy Werzer, and, you know, so many others around town, Roxanne Battle, yep. Amelia Santanello,
yep.
These women are women who use their platform and their voice to help other women. And I just, you know, wanted to make sure to do my part.
Shaletta, your website and your podcast is amazing, and I don't know how you do it. I mean, you seem to have limitless energy, but ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, you've really built an amazing platform, and I'm just curious, do you sense, and it's been a rough couple of years here for Minneapolis, for the Twin Cities, for the nation, but especially here, especially South Minneapolis with George Floyd, and it just goes on, and are things getting better? Are you more optimistic than you were maybe late May of 2020? Are things better, or are we still in the same old spot?
No, we are moving. And you know how I know we're moving? Because when Philando Castile died, my son was a student at a private Baptist school here, Catholic school here, and he wanted to talk to his classmates about it, and nobody wanted to talk to him.
Really?
They did not want to discuss it. You know, they thought it was no big deal. And when George Floyd died, Andrew went out into the front yard, and he didn't get an opportunity to start talking to our neighbors. They start talking to him. And these are little white kids, right? They're watching the news. They're seeing what's going on. They're out in Cottage Grove, you know, almost an hour away from where George Floyd was killed. But they wanted to talk to Andrew and ask him how he felt. And then the next thing I knew, Auntie Jordana, there was a march out here led by white kids who are not impacted the same way Andrew was impacted, you know, by a police interaction. And you know, they won't ever have Andrew's struggle or his concern. And I was headed to work, and I saw these kids marching. And, you know, I blew my horn at them, and one of the mamas who was at the front with her son said, "This is for you and Andrew. We're doing this for you and Andrew." And so that's how I know wow. It's getting better. People are more aware. And we understand now that we just can't sit on the sidelines lines and say thoughts and prayers. We can't say, "Oh, this is horrible," and then change the channel and binge watch old episodes of Sex and the City. We are understanding now that silence is not an option. And everybody plays a role in making it better.
Yeah.
Shaletta, you're not only, of course, an advocate for kids and women, but also for autism. You're raising three kids that are on the spectrum. What do you want people to look at your website for? How do you want them to support you? Can you share with us your books?
Yes. Oh, my God. So Cameron Goes to School was the first book I wrote in 2020. Bestseller, sold out, on reprint, got another reprint coming about my daughter's journey. And, you know, what I realized is that we're making all these books for parents so they can recognize whether or not their kids have autism and what they can do to help their children. But ain't nobody making books for the kids about their classmates who have autism. And so we have spent all these hundreds of thousands of dollars on therapy for these kids and special devices. And the thing that helped them the most was their student peer group understanding what their condition was, because Cameron was not getting invited to sleepovers and play dates, and her classmates thought that she was mean because she didn't talk to them. Well, she couldn't because she was nonverbal.
Right.
Yes.
They
yes.
didn't know that. And so oftentimes we say, "Oh, well, don't say anything to the kids. Just come over here." You know, and we want to act like there's something that the kids can't talk about and we can't educate them. It's very important that you educate and help your kids understand about autism so they can know how to interact with my daughter. So my books are not for kids with autism. My books are for the kids who don't have autism because I want to educate them. And then we did Daniel's book last year, and this year I was wasn't going to do a book because I didn't want the fight of the critical race crusaders because there's a little black boy on the book and they may think I'm trying to send a message about black history or something like that. But then I'm not even supposed to talk about this. This is so exciting. So we were in Texas, Uncle Paul, and they have these Let's Go Brandon flags, right? And they're all over the RV park. And so my son keeps telling me, Mom, these people love me in Texas. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, everybody's cheering for me. I want one of these flags with my name on it. Jordana, I don't know what the boy was talking about. So we ride around the RV park, and we're on the golf cart. He's like, Mommy, stop. Mommy, do you see that flag? That's my flag. And I looked up at that flag. I said, baby, I don't see a flag. I see a book. So, girl, we got another book coming out this year.
You're not calling it Let's Go Brandon, are you?
No, okay. I'm not calling it Let's Go Brandon. Kevin Berger corrected me because I was going to call it Let's Go Brandon.
No.
Kevin Berger was like, you can't do that, Shalana. You can't do it. And so it's going to be called Brandon Spots a Sign.
Okay. Okay. Well, nice. We can't wait. We are just in awe of you, honey. You are tireless and such an advocate. And those kids are going to be the best raised kids in the universe because of you.
Girl.
And Shaletta, you don't stay in your lane, nor should you.
Get out, honey.
You speak truth to power, whether it's on CCO Radio, on your podcast, wherever you are. And you always do it with a twinkle in your eye and a sense of humor. And any last bit of advice for listeners? I mean, if you see injustice, say something, right? Don't just turn away.
Yeah, because, you know, everybody has a role to play. And you don't feel like you have to march. Don't feel like you have to be on the front line. Don't feel like you have to get a sign and go out there and protest, because that may not be your thing. You know, look at Miss Rose McGee. She bakes pies. She bakes sweet potato pies and passes them out to protesters as well as police. Everybody can do something. Whatever gift God has given you, use that gift to make the world a better place. I just talk. That's what I do. I'm always yabbing and gabbing about something. Well, God has given me an opportunity to use that gift to bless my neighbors and to bless my community. So there's something you do, whether it is singing, whether it is crafting, whether it is braiding hair, whether it is sewing. There's something that you can do to make it better for my kids. For my boys, so that they won't have to be afraid, so that they can walk down the street with the hood on and the hands in their pocket and not be accused of doing anything when they haven't done anything wrong. You know, and if we don't start making it better for my kids, it's going to not be good for all of our kids.
Right.
So,
yep.
You know, it's time that we all do our part. Silence is no longer an option.
Shaletta Brundage, you are fabulous.
Congrats, Shaletta. Very well deserved.
I love y'all. And I thank y'all for being so supportive and loving me. And whether it is talking about this award or Uncle Paul's doing a bit with me on Almanac and we're being funny, y'all are always along for the ride. Y'all like my Thelma and Louise, so I appreciate it.
You got it, honey. Thank you again and congratulations.
Thank you, Shaletta.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to be here along for that ride. She is a star, and we are so grateful to have her on this station.
Yeah.
And hear her voice.
She's a rock star, just like you.
Well.
Surrounded by rock stars. When we come back, it's been a busy show.
Oh, yeah.
Some memorable moments from today's show when we come right back.
Did you write the book of love? And do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so.
We have faith that people will do the right thing. Good will triumph over evil. That those that are suffering in Ukraine, their suffering will end, and they will enjoy freedoms once again. We spoke earlier in the show with Dasha Lawson. Dasha is living in Apple Valley with her husband, Mark. She is Ukrainian. Her sister and mother are in Poland now, where they fled as refugees from the war brought on by Russia. And we check in with Dasha every, you know, few days just to see if there's movement, if she can get her sister and mother over here, how they're doing, if she's talking to her brother-in-law who is fighting on the front lines in Ukraine. And today we spoke to her and caught up. So if you missed anything, use the Rewind app and check that out. And, of course, you'll see that on our social medias at P. Douglas Twitter and for me on Instagram at Jordana Verde. We'll tweet it out. We'll post it. But we asked Dasha about the propaganda, because now in Russia, the people only hear state-run media. Everything else is illegal.
There is no free press.
No.
Not even close.
Not at all. Yeah. And she had some very troubling things to say about it.
It seems like depends to who you're talking to. People in more developed cities like St. Petersburg and Moscow, they're more exposed to outside world, who have a chance to have their business, to travel abroad. They have a little bit wider understanding of what's going on.
And again, what I worry about is getting information out of Ukraine. And there are some very brave journalists right now who are covering what's happening right now with the invasion and the occupation of Russian forces. And you were able to track down an amazing communicator and journalist, Joe Lindsley. And he's in Lviv. So he is western part of Ukraine, fairly close to the Polish border, close to that attack. Russians attacked the supply chains and killed 35 over the weekend. He said he could hear the sound of the explosions and feel the earth shaking under his feet during that attack. We asked him today, how are you holding up?
Well, for one, I'm if I ever get too tired or want to complain, I mean, the energy of my team of Ukrainians around me here in our newsroom and our bunker, and all of the friends I've made the past 2 years when I got accidentally stuck here in the pandemic, everyone has rallied together to help each other and even just to encourage each other. In that sense, I feel I'm meant to be here.
Joe is an inspiration. And every time I see him, I breathe a sigh of relief because he's okay. He's still alive. I think about this when I do my Volodymyr Zelensky welfare checks just to make sure the man has made it through the night, the president. And I feel the same way about Joe. We communicate mostly on Instagram and follow him at JP Lindsley. I will post our podcast at Jordana Verde, but he's such a positive energy and believes that the Ukrainians will be victorious. Is living in Lviv, loves the Ukrainians. He is an American journalist, has chosen to live there and fight with them and be there and stay there. And I pray for him every night and I wish the best for them. And his landing page is Lviv Lab, LVIVLAB.com.
Right.
You can check out, he says they have been shut down by Facebook and Twitter, but you can check him out on Lviv Lab and on Instagram, JP Lindsley.
Yeah, he's remarkable. It was a great find tracking.
Yeah, I'm going to retweet and I'm going to retweet our interview with him.
Okay, great. We also talked about Minneapolis teachers strike now 8 days. No, it started last week at this time, so we're into 1 week. Kids at home, teachers in many cases on the picket line, and one such teacher on the picket line was a kindergarten teacher, Cleo Nagy. And we asked her, what is the main sticking point today for her?
We've been working on an expired contract for the last 2 years. And so part of what we're negotiating for right now in terms of the pay is for the last 2 years. We haven't had a salary increase in the last 2 years. And so I know that's kind of a focal point for everybody. But I think based off your personal situation at your school, the community that you work in, class size might be a sticking point for you, mental health might be a sticking point for you. Personally, for me and for my school, mental health and having more mental health counselors is something that we're really fighting for. And then, of course, our ESPs, which are educational support professionals, their starting salary is at $24,000. Mm. And so a lot of our educational support professionals who are really the backbone of our schools, they're working with the most vulnerable students. They're hands-on with special education students every day, working, you know, with different needs that they have. And so to have them working 2 to 3 jobs, you know, one job should be enough. And so I think for everybody, it's a little bit different. But I really want to emphasize, you know, we've been working for 2 years without a new contract. And so that's why wage is what comes up the most often.
This radio gig is a little like getting undressed in public.
Uh-oh.
You reveal things that you really did not want to reveal.
Ooh, I thought you were going to take your pants off.
Ooh, no.
Nervous
not
over
yet.
Here.
Not yet.
Yeah.
But true confession, she's a kindergarten teacher. Mm-hmm. My first day of kindergarten, I ran away.
You did?
Yeah. My mom dropped me off, and I remember chasing after her. I don't remember much from kindergarten, but she had one of those black cars. It looked like the Batmobile. It had the big fins in the back, and I remember chasing after her, and she pulled over and then walked me back in, held my hand, walked me back in, and it's just, I don't know.
That's so cute. I mean, that's kind of a sad but a cute memory. You know, you got to go to kindergarten.
Should have been a tip-off that I would suck in school.
Oh, I'm sure
I would,
you loved it. But you know, Cleo was telling this story that she's a kindergarten teacher, and they got fish for the classroom. And the kids, when she explained that they were going on strike and they wouldn't be having class, the kids were very concerned about the fish, what's going to happen. And she said she has gotten somebody who has to cross the lines and be in the school building to take care of the fish. Good. But I remember when my oldest was in, I don't know if it's sixth grade or fifth grade, they get a class pet. And they had a crayfish. Was it a crawfish? It's like a shellfish or whatever it is. Not kosher. Mm-hmm. So she asked if she could bring it home for the weekend.
Right.
And I was like, I mean, I guess, right? This is, we're responsible. We have to be part of the team, right? So I'm like, you can bring it home. Just tell me what to feed it or have the teacher send me emails. We killed it.
On purpose?
No. Like, and like I said, it's not kosher, so we couldn't even eat it. But it did not last the weekend.
Funny story about
that. Devastating. I felt so bad.
Well,
and then my kid has to go back with the dead crawfish, whatever that. Oh, my gosh. did you murder a class pet as well?
No, but we actually, my daughter in third grade, each class had a class rat.
Oh, fair.
No, and, you know, each class had one, and they would take care. Well, the problem was, like, after a while, the school, you know, nobody could go. Everybody was at home. So they would, you know, this rat would, you know, go from house to house to house. My wife felt so bad for this animal because nobody wanted it. They're like, hey, who wants to take Coco? Nobody stepped up. My wife's like, let's take this rat. We have had a pet rat since May of 2020. I kid you not.
Still alive?
She's still alive. And she is turned out to be like the sweetest. She's like the sweetest thing. When we clean out her kitchen. Yeah. Oh, she'll play on my lap and she'll make her little bruxing noise. And
you're nicer to me.
Yeah, good pets.
They are very social animals.
Coco.
I did not know that. Rats are very, they're very social with humans and other animal. Yeah, my wife just felt so bad because nobody else stepped up to take this rat, and she's like, well, let's, and we figured it would be good to teach our daughter about responsibility.
Hey, so that's Coco. I want to tell you just, and I know we're out of time, but we're on a roll here. I want to make you feel better.
About murdering the crayfish?
Yeah. Our boys had a little guinea pig, and the guinea pig's name was Scooter, and they love Scooter.
Of course.
And we left on a vacation, and my mom and dad came to watch the kids while Lori and I could go on vacation. And apparently, Scooter died while we were away, and my mom didn't know what to do. So she put Scooter in a plastic bag in the freezer.
Stop it.
And then she forgot about it.
No.
And Lori comes home and opened up the freezer, and there were these two black eyes staring at her.
And the kids didn't realize that Scooter was gone?
Kids didn't realize. No, mom thought that maybe they wouldn't notice that Scooter was gone.
Oh, Lori deserves some hazard pay for that.
But yeah, so.
Oh, my God.
Scooter's,
that's hilarious.
Scooter's in a better place.
You know, not the freezer anymore.
Yeah, not the grill.
Oh, my God. We are a murderous bunch, oh, except for Chris.
Not me.
What's the Coco still doing well?
Coco's still alive. You guys are heathens.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, oh, go ahead.
When we come back, friends don't let friends smuggle reptiles in their pants.
Okay.
Explain next.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis seen here waving COVID into the club. He attacked Disney for opposing the state's Don't Say Gay bill, calling the company a woke corporation. Disney denied the claims of wokeness with roughly 90 years of cartoons.
Oh, my.
My Florida.
Yes. Friends don't let friends smuggle reptiles in their plants. Okay. A man was stopped at the U.S. border in California. He had 52 lizards and snakes hidden in his clothing.
Oh, come on.
He was driving a truck. He arrived at the San Ysidro border crossing in late February. He was pulled into a special lane for additional inspection. Agents found 52 live reptiles tied up in small bags, concealed in the man's jacket, pants pocket, and groin area.
Oh, my God.
9 snakes and 43 horned lizards were seized. Some of the species are endangered. I guess he was going to sell them.
Really? Is there a big market for this?
But again, it just reptiles near your,
in your
groin
pants?
Area. I mean, how badly do you need that money?
Bad choices. Wow, your life has taken a dark turn if that's what we're wrapping up them in Ziplocs and putting them in our junk.
Yeah, don't do that. Resist the urge to have reptiles near your groin area. Yeah.
The news is next in the Timberwolves pregame at 7 o'clock. At 6:30, COVID-19 special on CCO.
Thanks, Jor. I get a whiff of you, I want to do trigonometry.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.